You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, welcome to True Hoop with me, Gerard Hector, and Coach David Thorpe. How are you, sir?
I am well, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. We enjoyed some great wine this weekend, courtesy of you and Chrissy. Very, very delicious.
Which one was it?
Do you remember? It was, so the thing that's annoying is like these vineyards are like these people's names, and I'm like, what's that guy's name again? But the bottle's over there in the corner in the kitchen. So when we're done with this show,
send me a picture. Yeah.
But no, this is good stuff. Very, very, very quality. Thank you again. Wonderful, wonderful.
You are welcome.
David, the Pacers trade for Pascal Siakam went down, and you know, we talked about a bit of it last week. You wrote about it. There's excitement around there. A lot of people for it's what it can mean this season, right? Now, two games is no sample size, so whatever. Lost their two games, but because you watch games differently than the average person watches games, you're seeing things you like. And it's tied to what I liked about the trade, which was they didn't really give up a lot of their young or any of their young, really good guys to get Pascal, which means they can be good now and good into the future. So what have you liked about what you've seen from the Pacers with the addition of Pascal Siakam?
Well, last night they lost a super entertaining game at Phoenix. They did not have a good game against Portland the game before. Tyrese Haliburton came back for that game, but he was coming off a hamstring issue that kept him out of last night's game.
Yep.
And was not very good, and yet I think he had like 21-17 with no turnovers. He's fucking phenomenal. Offensively, he's just a joke. But you could tell he wasn't kind of out of rhythm and everything. And they had some other injuries, too, that kept guys out. And last night, I thought they played really well. There's a couple of things that excite me about their team. They don't know what they're doing yet with Siakam. That's going to come. He's much better in the paint than what they're used to. They'll figure that out. I think they probably have had a half practice since he got there. Because they had one day off in between Portland to Phoenix, so they probably got in the gym for a few minutes. But like they're flying down the court, getting shots up, and he's just getting positioned to seal inside and even look for him. They will. Like, I don't think they're a selfish team at all. Miles Turner fits in great next to him. He wants to just shoot threes anyway. He went 6 of 10 against Portland. He wasn't as good last night. He's going to be a plus defender for them. He's been okay. I think he's been good, not great. He needs to be great. I think he can be. It just gives them, with Nesmith and Nembhard came back last night. Nembhard's defense on Booker was maybe the best I've ever – definitely the best I've ever seen him do. Maybe the best I've ever seen Booker be guarded. I think Booker might have been 9 for 24. Mm-hmm. Wasn't all Andrew by any stretch. But he really was terrific against them. And so they've got all these moving pieces that I think will coalesce. But what really intrigues me is Mathurin is struggling. He had his worst game of the season in Portland, against Portland. I think he's upset that he's not going to get to be the second best player on that team. I don't think he ever was going to be, but I think in his mind, he probably thought he was. So I don't know that he'll keep him and that maybe they can get him a late first for him, which would make the Siakam deal only have two number ones you lose. But Jairus Walker is an interesting player because he's an undersized four. I've had people tell me he's only like 6'6". I think he's listed 6'8". He doesn't look 6'8" to me. He plays 6'8". He was maybe one of the best two players I saw in the G League this year. Man among boys, and he's a young guy, 20 years old, I think. He gives them he's a Draymond Green type. shoots it better, probably. We don't know yet for sure. Passes it. It's hard to say anyone plays like Draymond, but right. He's got a chance to be that. He's got an edge about him. More athletic than Draymond was at that age. But here's what's cool. Rick Carlisle played him last night as a three. Mm-hmm. Two games in a row as a three. And that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because if he can guard like that, now they got Wallace Walker at the three, Siakam four, Turner at five, with Nembhard probably as a starting two. I don't think Mathen will be that guy. And that's four defensive players around Tyrese who needs help around him defensively. Mm-hmm. With lots of offensive firepower. It won't be so much for this year because Jairus Walker has got to grow. But they have Aaron Nesmith, who's a very good 3-and-D guy. When he buys into that role, sometimes he's a little thirsty, I think, as a scorer, instead of just playing off those other guys. I watched their team last night go toe-to-toe with a very good Phoenix team without Tyrese, without Isaiah Jackson, who I think is a valuable backup, although Jalen Smith is also a valuable backup who also shoots well.
Very good.
They've got a lot of role players. TJ McConnell struggled. He's had two bad games in a row. He might just be in a wall and needs a break because he's played a decent amount and like hasn't they all done do. That. Yeah, they all do for sure. I looked it up. The Clippers lost six straight games when they got Harden. I talked to some people involved with that team and they were panicking. And I liked what I saw from them. They need to figure it out with James.
Right.
They're 24-7 I believe 24-7
on a roll.
And we'll get into them later. I know. I like this Indiana team. Not so much for this year. They're still very young in a few spots. Siakam's not young. Buddy's not young. Miles isn't young. But there's a lot of key players that are. And but going forward, if Jairus Walker can be their three, man, Buddy Hield might. I've heard he really likes it there. He's not going to get any money compared to what he once would get. Mm-hmm. Both Tyrese and Nembhard really find him a lot. Siakam is a very willing, and he had 7 assists last night. He's a very good playmaker. He'll get used to playing with Buddy, who's probably a much better shooter volume-wise than anyone he's ever played with before. Gerard, I'm telling you, the Pacers, who are 2-2 against Celtics, 2-2 Sixers, 4-1 against Milwaukee, next year, this time of year, when Jairus Walker's got some real experience, probably, I think he'll start at three next year. I don't know that. I just think it. Yeah, I really like the way that team can grow. They've got a lot of depth. They're going to be a team to watch, I think.
I think you're so right. I was watching that game last night as well. And what I like about them, and you know, as you know, on this pod, I've loved Indiana all year. Loved that they went to the tournament, in-season tournament finals. Was hoping that they would win it. LeBron and the Lakers were really good in that game. They have so much optionality, David, with those guys that you're talking about, with Jairus Walker, with Jalen Smith, with Isaiah Jackson, and they just need some seasoning, right? They need some development and some time. And, you know, things go well, they'll be very good. I loved what I saw defensively from the Nembhard combo with Walker and some of these guys. Look, I mean, you're talking about Kevin Durant and Bradley McCray. These are like the best offensive players in the world. But those guys were battling. And if this is a team that can guard, and then those guys, particularly those role guys, to your point, don't be like Nesmith and are not thirsty and just know how to play off and cut off those guys. Well, you're cooking with serious grease now.
And they've got a rookie from Belmont named Ben Shepherd. Yes. I thought he was like 6'5", but I'm told he's more like 6'6".
He looked very long last night, and he was getting up into people. He still doesn't know what he's doing, rookie, making a lot of mistakes. No, but
he plays really hard. Mm-hmm. He remember, when Grady Dick was the worst player in the NBA, I still thought he had a future because he plays super hard for a guy that's probably going to be a very good shooter with good size. Mm-hmm. Well, this guy might be the same thing. He was drafted much lower than Grady Dick, but if he can end up being a shooter, as hard as he plays and doesn't ever dribble the ball like Nesmith needs to play this way, he could be a plus defender, plus shooter, you know, role player. That's very valuable. Mm-hmm. Hell, maybe he ends up being the starting two in a couple of years. If he outplays them hard, outshoots them. He's not the playmaker Nembhard is, but Tyrese needs to play against with a plus defender and a plus shooter. Mm-hmm. So Nembhard's that guy now, I think. But maybe Ben Shepherd could be that. We'll have to see. I like where they're going. Yeah. I think they should trade Mathurin personally. Mm. I think he wants to be traded. He's not happy, it looks like.
Right.
Now that he knows he's not going to be the next max guy on the team, which I never thought he would be, but I think he thought he would be. So yeah, I think the Pacers, we got to keep an eye on them. Yeah. They play Denver. They play Denver, Philly, Phoenix this week after just coming off a long road trip. Like, they might lose five in a row.
Right.
But just mark my words. This is a team that's to be analyzed and studied going forward, because they're going to be really good.
No doubt. We love it. Carlisle's using the regular season to tinker and use it as a lab to figure out what he's got. You mentioned Jalen Smith. David and Phoenix is going to be kicking themselves right now, being like, damn, Jalen's really good. That guy can shoot it. He's long. He competes as well. And, you know, when you have a team like Indiana does with a surplus of these kinds of guys, that makes them, in the years to come, ooh, we can move a couple of these guys to get whatever that thing is once they've had some playoff success, that, okay, this now locks us into long-term contending status if one of those younger guys isn't there. So it's going to put them in a very advantageous position.
And just to finish that thought, so if you're Buddy Hield, who has already been there now and been part of that culture, it's a very basketball-focused mm-hmm. culture, you start wondering, all right, if I can make 3 years X in Indiana, 3 years X somewhere else, and the X is X plus somewhere else, mm-hmm. but I want to win a championship, I want to at least contend for mm-hmm. one, but this team is going to be really good for years to come
yep.
now.
Yep.
They've got enough good young players mm-hmm. and Tyrese and now Siakam, mm-hmm. which that's why I think it was such a smart move by the Pacers. You assume they have a deal in place. We don't really know right. until you see it. You better. Because now you've got a very stable force, a two-way player that plays the right way. He doesn't care if Tyrese is right. the man, whatever. Right. He'll have the ball in his hands more and more. I think he has that maybe 12, 13 assists in two games as a power forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you start getting a Buddy Hield type to say, you know what, I see my role off the bench. Like last night, they lost just because Buddy can't guard anybody
right.
on Phoenix. Mm-hmm. He's trying. He is competing. I'm very happy with
Phoenix somebody. Hunted him for sure. They were like, get the ball on Buddy's guy and go at him.
Every possession was attack Buddy, attack Buddy, attack Buddy. And so you won't finish games with him, but during the course of a game, mm-hmm. he's going to get the ball in his hands a bunch. Oh,
yeah.
And I think he'll like it there better. And all of a sudden, Indy keeps a good free agent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a big deal.
I think you're right. And you love the importance of bench guys who can come off the bench and score. And Buddy's like water, man. That dude, he can stroke it. And that's so valuable in the postseason. So, so, so valuable.
And he gets the ball.
Yeah.
Like Nembhard and Haliburton really look for him. And he's not going to get that everywhere.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think that's right. Indiana, folks, listen, we like him. Keep your eyes on him. The team they played, David, the Phoenix Suns, dare I say, have started to turn a corner. You know, it's funny because you mentioned James Harden when the Clippers got him and they lost five straight, I believe. And they were not right. And remember, the sky was falling. And you said somebody internally was panicking. With Phoenix, I mean, those three dudes have now, this is like in this winning streak, they've played together now. This might have been their sixth or seventh game where they played together. That's not a lot. It takes, as good as these guys are in terms of how smart they are basketball IQ wise, you still need to learn how to play with each other. And I feel like people, they think this is NBA 2K. Oh, I'm just going to trade this guy and trade this guy, and then we're just awesome. It's like, no, that's not how it works. Like, can you talk about how difficult it is to meld a group of players together who are super smart and not selfish? It's not about that, but learning how to play with one another.
Yeah, I'm not a musician. Unfortunately, I have less talent than that than maybe ever in the history of the planet, but I do appreciate it. If you take some really incredible musicians who have never played four together and put them together, play with each other together, put them all in a room, they're likely to play good music. There's not another musician trying to beat them up. They're just playing. But give them a year, 6 months, 3 months, they'll play better. Mm-hmm. They'll get a feel for each other, when to come in hard, when to go soft a little bit, whatever. I mean, basketball is jazz. It's the same thing. You aren't just dealing with new systems and a feel for when is this guy going to hit the ball here? When does he want to get the ball there? Just when do I cut? When does he cut? Screening angles, all those things. But that to me is obvious. Here's what's not so obvious. It's these guys mostly don't want to be seen as prima donnas. They don't want to be seen as ball hogs. They don't want all the oxygen in the room. They're the opposite of those kinds of people. They've been great for a reason. They understand how to play the we game. And, you know, some guys, and I'm not making fun of Cam Thomas because, you know, I've been a fan, mm-hmm. but Cam Thomas probably gets traded somewhere and doesn't affect the thing. Mm-hmm. He's just not at that level yet. Maybe right. one day when you get to a certain level, you have a feel for not wanting to be the loudest voice in the room all the time, especially when you're the new guy. Mm-hmm. And so there's just a comfort zone of, because you want to be a good human being. You want to be decent. You want to be seen as decent. I haven't watched OG in New York much. But he isn't the type to take a lot of shots anyway. But Siakam is a primary ball handler. And he's got to kind of get a feel for it. He doesn't want to be seen as, oh, we got this fucking flamethrower. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing as Harden in L.A.
Yeah.
The last thing James Harden wanted to be is seen as someone who's just saying, fuck you guys.
Right.
Westbrook, you know.
Right.
And Kawhi and Paul George. Yep. No. Like, hey, I'm a team guy. And so it happened with, you know, Henry and I were together at ESPN when LeBron got to play with D-Wade and Chris Bosh. And they were 500 to start the year. And people were saying fire Spo, whatever. And I was, you know, we were doing Troop TV back then. And I was writing as well. Like, no, these guys are bending over backwards to try to take care of each other. They don't know how to do it yet. Just give them time. Mm-hmm. Dwayne is the one who ultimately said, all right, it's your show. He said that out loud.
Right.
And I thought that he would say that, which is why I thought LeBron went there to begin with. So, yeah, it just takes a bit to get a feel for, if I take this shot, they're not all going to think I'm a selfish pig. You know, I can just be myself because I'm conscious, I'm mindful of not being that guy, and they'll see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes a bit.
Absolutely. And Phoenix has really turned it around. Five straight, as I mentioned, 10 of their last 13. You put in the document, David, they were 13th and 16th in offensive and defensive rating since Thanksgiving, and 9th and 14th in those same categories in 2024.
Moving up.
So they're moving up. And I think for them, David,
Beal looks better too.
Beal looks a lot better. I mean, look, he's coming off a back. He had to get himself right, first of all, physically. And that takes a little while playing. And then on top of that,
it was his back.
Mm-hmm.
So then, that means you can't even get reps working on your game.
Correct.
Your back.
And then on top of that, all the things that David just mentioned about, do I take the shot here? What is it? Yeah. It's a lot. It's going to take more than 7 games, right? This is why, in a way, they're probably happy the season's 82 games long, right? Because then they're like, well, we have a runway that we can really work through some things.
Yeah.
As opposed to it being a short season, they'd be screwed. But
that fourth quarter lineup, when Nurk fouled out, but if Durant is the five, mm-hmm. which he's done there a couple of games.
Like we saw against Sacramento, yep.
Yeah. That's problematic for a lot of opponents.
It is. They're very
good. He's really competing. I know you love him.
Defensively, he's really competing. Really locking. Yeah. I mean, at 40 last night, offense with him doesn't even – I don't even worry about that anymore.
No.
I mean, I never worried about it. But, like, when he's locked in on the defensive end of the floor, I'm like, okay, I know something's cooking now. He's starting to feel good about them. They're starting to feel good about each other. David, I think their starting five is fine. Grayson Allen's been excellent for them. Nurk, even though he's got his issues, he's a rebounding, like, passing, like – very good. Their problem to me, David, is after that top five, I'm like,
I don't love anything.
They'll
be shopping for someone. Yeah. They're going to try to get someone. Boy, imagine they have Bruce Brown. I don't know if they can do it, but
Would help them tremendously. Yeah,
he would help them a lot. He would help a lot of contenders.
Yeah.
There was a play late in the game where he and Siakam were going at each other all game. They didn't guard each other all game long. Pascal actually started off on Booker, but they guarded each other late a lot, and they're near half courts, Kevin Durant's trying to break him down. Siakam pokes the ball away. Mm-hmm. And then as Durant goes to dive for it, Siakam goes to dive for it. The ball goes across half court. I thought it was a violation. Mm-hmm. They didn't call it. I haven't looked at the last 2 minute report. It might have been last 2 minutes. I think the refs messed up. But I just thought, man, that's almost 14 feet of bodies diving on the ground for a loose ball in freaking January. That was encouraging to me for both teams. Yes. These guys want to win. They were competitive. They're clapping. I saw Pascal on the bench clapping and talking. I didn't see that much in Toronto. Both those guys are playing with joy, and I think surrounded with joyful people. And so for Phoenix, when Durant's playing like that, Beal so much better than he was to start the year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have the potential to be really tough to beat in 7 games in a series.
For sure. Because that lineup with those three guys presents a lot of problems. And Grayson Allen, by the way, leading the league in 3-point shooting. I mean, he's getting so many wide open, we know, but he's also with confidence. And he's not just Kevin said this after the Sacramento game. You know, people think of Grayson as just a 3-and-D wing, but he's showing he can do a lot more. He's like, well, maybe he can't post up. He's got to come to my academy to learn how to do that. But otherwise, like...
He said that?
Yeah.
He's a good basketball player.
He's
a little
smart.
Slow on defense, but he's a good player. Mm-hmm. He had a big three for them last night off like a weird situation. The ball kind of got loose. It found him. He nailed it. That was one of the biggest shots of the game. Yeah, and he doesn't want to get traded either. He said it.
I love it here. I don't want to go anywhere.
Yeah. Like. Who would want to get traded from there? Yeah. When you're a player like him.
Right.
You're going to get your open shots. People are going to try to guard those other three dudes. And you got to play hard. But that was never his problem.
Yeah, he does. He competes. And he's kind of shedding a little bit of that, like, dirty player rep that he had.
Which, yeah, I haven't thought in a while.
Justifiably so, right? He did. There were some things he did that were well warranted. Yeah. You're like, what's up with this guy? But he's seeming to matured in that way, as David always says, right? Doesn't mean you can't grow up. Right. So good for them. Yeah, they got to make a trade, though, for sure, because that bench needs help. And, you know, the thing I worry about with them, as I do with the Clippers, so Durant was great last night, but played almost 40 minutes, might have even played 40 last night. They have a back-to-back tonight at home against Chicago, and I'm just like, the problem is they know they need reps and rhythm, so they're going to play, but the science be like, maybe sit him that game. That's a lot of minutes, and you're going back-to-back. Because we're at that stage of the season now, David. I talked about it on our call where – you can see it in the players. I'm sure you noticed it much earlier. They need break. They're dead. They're hitting that point.
Yeah, about a week into January, I started seeing a real deteriorating signs in most of the players I was watching that play a lot. Like their level of play has leveled off or dropped. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the All-Star game should come in early January.
Yeah, these guys need a break. And you know, unfortunately, I'm just going to start looking, monitor those soft tissue, those hamstring, those muscle injuries. Pay attention now because. Yeah. The wear and tear is going to start getting to these guys. All right, David, let's actually take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. All right, I pulled up the EPMs, top 15 players, and it's like I just basically call it EPMs All-NBA squad because 15 guys. I'm like, if you just use EPM, these 15 guys on the list should be All-NBA. Does anyone, first of all, on that top 15 list surprise you, or does the order of anyone surprise you on that list?
I have to look right now.
Yep.
Yeah. Not. I mean, I don't think that people see a Donovan. I've seen him that way for a long time. Mm-hmm. So that might have been Damian Lillard. Maybe surprises me. Mm-hmm. Does surprise me. Mm-hmm. But he's been playing very well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Derek White doesn't surprise me. In fact, I want to tell you a cute story. I was talking to a player this weekend who is interviewing for a two-way spot, meaning literally he's a great player. I think he's a very talented young player. He's got to meet with the management coaching staff of a team. And I was kind of prepping a little bit. The agents asked me to talk to him, prep him a little bit for the meeting, on-court kind of stuff. And I mentioned, I don't know, something along the lines of how much, you know, you – want to be able to play like guys like Jrue Holiday and Derek White, mm-hmm. who play the right way, their teams win games, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of players don't love that. They want to be compared to the guys who lead the league in scoring.
Well, actually, really quick before you continue that story, I remember you telling us a story that there was a player you helped in the draft, and you said, Jrue Holiday, and they actually got offended with you. And you're like, why? Jrue Holiday's been great. Like, I can't remember who it was.
It was Tyrese Maxey who was offended when I said Kyle Lowry.
Ah, yes, that's what it was.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, exactly. Not anymore, probably. Right. And Maxey's fantastic. But this player who's 21 maybe said, those are my guys, like Jrue Holiday, Derek White. They play the right way. They really defend. And so like he gets it. This young guy gets it. Derek White is just...
He's phenomenal.
He's fantastic. He's definitely an all-star level player. Yes. There's no question of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's in the running for top 15 in the league. All-star is top 24. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he'll get it.
Well, right, that, right.
But mm-hmm. he's it's always about winning possessions. Win possessions. However you can help your team win possessions in the role that your team needs to do, that you really bring value and build value.
Yeah.
And I thought that I think Donovan's the one guy that if you ask the average person who are the team who's playing great, you might get Derek White from someone who watches the game mm-hmm. because Boston's so good.
Right, yes.
But Donovan Mitchell is a phenomenal talent. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
I've been since his rookie season.
Yeah, Donovan right now is eighth in EPM. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He's right behind Kawhi. One thing I noticed, Kawhi and Paul George both in the top 15. In EPM, that's a very, very good sign. What surprised me is someone who's not in the top 15. David, he's not even in the top 20. Dame is 15. Dame is right at 15.
No, Tatum.
Oh, well, yes. Tatum, yes. But Derek White's so high up, so that's good. Right. Is Steph Curry. By all accounts, we assume he's still playing well. And if you look at the raw box stats, he is, right? Still shooting great, all that. But the impact on winning that we normally see, he's normally really up there, like top 5, top 8, whatever, not even the top 20. And the part that's dragging him down, because offensively is really good, is the defense. Defensive metrics are down. And that's not just him individually. It's the whole team across the board. And, you know, that's, I mean, look, you know, they're dealing with a tragedy with the death of their assistant coach. We talked about it last Thursday. But, you know, this is, you know, I think it's, as you've always said about LeBron, foolish to throw great dirt upon his grave early, right? But, you know, this is a team that we think the end is here, right? And they got to do some serious retooling and figuring out what they're going to do, because it's highly unlikely that they turn this season around and become a playoff team.
I mean, I have an article already published suggesting they should trade Steph Curry. And we have another one coming, maybe even this week, basically saying that, you know, the dynasty is over. Right? You're just hoping. There's no evidence to suggest this team's going to make any kind of run again. And so therefore it makes no sense to just keep them together.
Right.
To just lose collectively too many games. It's just sad, but they got to pay Draymond all that money. Mm-hmm. Wiggins still owes a lot of money. Clay is off. I think it's done after this year. So that would be, that helps a little bit. But still it's, Tatum not being in there is something, because he's been in there before.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And they're, we'll get to them too. They're playing great.
Oh, I mean, listen, that.
So it's still working fine.
And I wonder too, right? Because I know EPM adjusts for, and we're going to have Steve Ilardi on today, but he's sick. So get well soon, Steve. EPM takes into account who your teammates are and who you share the floor with when it's doing its metrics. But I wonder, because I often see some minutes where Tatum is not playing with the main guys, right? And so I'm wondering, like, is that dragging him down a little bit? Like, there's all these little factors that I wonder, like, what causes the numbers to drag below what we're seeing with our eyes? It's like, when I watch him, he's looking like he's doing all the things, and they're winning possessions when he's on the floor. It's interesting to see all that. Lauri Markkanen, of course, also in the top 15. No surprise there.
Amazing.
I wonder, I mean, we talked about this a little bit. I wonder what Danny's going to do. I'm really curious. Is he going to accept an? I feel like, knowing Danny, yeah, if you blow me away with an offer, sure. But short of that, nope, not doing it. That's my guess, is what he's probably going to do.
Well, I would argue this. What you're saying isn't wrong. I would argue the opposite, which is I'm going to use all these picks that we have and go get some really good players next to Lauri right now, because they might go 10 years easily can go 10 years and not have a player as good as him.
That's very true.
He's that good of a player. Mm-hmm. So as much as I want to see him on a place like OKC, I'd love to see Utah go ahead and get in the fray here. Mm-hmm. Join the fray. You've got an all-NBA level player.
Right.
That's why I love what the Pacers did. They got themselves an all-NBA level player to put next to Tyrese, an all-NBA player. And you don't get these guys often. When you get them, for however you got them, in the case of the Pacers, they traded for both.
Yep.
In the case of Utah, they traded for Lauri. Great. Mm-hmm. Make some moves and throw, see if you can't win 48 games this year and get into the 50s next year and beyond.
No, I think they'd be dumb to do it. I think you're right. We do this thing where we fall in love with draft picks and draft capital, and I get it, because draft capital and picks, well, not you, but fans and the way that certain media talk about it,
right?
It sells you the idea of hope, right? But again, it has to be realized. A pick means nothing. The 2030 number one pick, great. Yes, that has some value to it, but it has to be realized into something. That person may never be as good as Lauri Markkanen is right now, right? And odds are he probably won't be.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. They've had two.
Right.
They've had three. Gobert, Donovan, and this guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got Lauri by trading Donovan, so you couldn't get them all together. But maybe you could have. There's plenty of ways to do it.
Yeah. So it'll be curious to see what Danny does there. David, a team we just talked about, the Clippers and James Harden. I know one thing you liked about you heard that he and Zubac are really working. So I found out that it wasn't just Zubac who was staying after practice.
All the bigs.
All of them. And he was inviting other, and you know, when we watch sports and these guys are adults and you think like, oh, it's, you get cynical, it's business, whatever. There is still that kid and team in these guys.
Oh my goodness.
And so when they see three dudes working, hey, can I sure, you can participate too. Like, they're guys who want to get in there and do the stuff.
If you want to see exactly what you're talking about on the screen, watch what I did today. The 22-0 run they finished the game with in against Brooklyn in LA. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just watch Terrence Mann on the bench. because he was not in the game. They went small. PG, Kawhi,
Russ at center,
Westbrook, Harden, and Powell. And when Kawhi started cooking late, Terrence Mann was going absolutely crazy on the bench with his teammates. It was awesome to see. It's my favorite thing of the year now that I've seen. My favorite thing of the year is the way they just sell. I mean, when Kawhi made his last three, which ended the game, Terrence Mann like was racing. I couldn't see what the teammate is just racing over there to celebrate. It was, he knew he was watching. 22-0 runs don't happen.
Yeah.
In the, especially the end games.
Yeah.
They literally pitched a shutout for 5:33 in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
The final 5:33. I watched those final 5:33. Now, Brooklyn deserved a lot of blame.
Right. For helping
what they
them.
Did. And they missed some shots that normally they wouldn't miss, but they also did some bad things too. But they, it wasn't their fault. Kawhi just couldn't be guarded. He was just making crazy shots. Paul George did a big three in that stretch. Both Westbrook and Harden made a great rebound hit, head passes, immediately catch it, gone right away for buckets. That's good passing. Kawhi hit some big, big shots too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was, these were guys playing like they were in AAU again when they were in sixth grade. It's awesome to see. I've seen my son, when he was a starter, but when he was on the bench, he and one of his teammates who plays for the Gators now, they both, you know, my son's at Florida State, this kid's at Florida, and they both play on the team. And, but they had a different celebration for every team. All of our players but one could shoot threes.
Right.
So if they were both out, whoever made a three, Max and Ben, Bennett, who was valedictorian at one of the best schools in the state, very brilliant kid, they had their own celebration for each one. And it was hilarious to watch. I was on the bench, but I didn't always go to the games.
Right.
So I would catch the video of it, because otherwise I never paid attention. And they would do these funny celebrations. One of them was like a Bennett would hike a football to Max, and he'd pretend to throw it to Bennett. He would score. He would call a touchdown. It was just hilarious stuff. And that's what the Clippers looked like last night during that run. They were just having fun, man.
Listen, Joy, right? You always talk about it. Like, it's when you play that way, it just, it energizes. Everybody feels so good. And of course, winning, what an elixir that is, right? Like,
but one lead, one helps lead to the other.
I agree.
Winning helps create joy, but joy beforehand helps create winning.
Correct.
When Siakam was first introduced for the Pacers' first game in Portland, all the guys got jumped before the game. Pre-game warm-ups, you know, they announced starting five. They just mobbed him in the middle and jumped all over him. Had they won a game, maybe they'd have poured something on him. But, yeah, I mean, Siakam had a real genuine smile. There's it's a game. It's supposed to be – it's hard, 82 games.
Correct.
I talked to a player, young player, 21-year-old player, the other day and over the weekend, and he plays a lot. I asked him how he's doing, and you could hear it in his voice, like, I'm all right. Like, I'm okay.
Yeah.
My body's, you know, not perfect. I'm not fresh.
Right.
He'd said those words. I'm not fresh.
Right.
Now, in November, this guy was a puppy dog. The season has already made him into a grown-up already.
Yeah.
Like, it wears you down.
Yeah.
Not to mention who you're playing against, you know? Yeah, so, but it's great to be reminded when you do that, it's just easier to play that way.
For sure. And the Clippers, David, only 2.5 games back of first place, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Yeah. And look, you know, again, when they traded for Harden, everybody's like, oh, this team, load management team, those guys don't stay healthy. They lost six in a row. Sky's falling. Clippers stink. And I'm like, guys, we got a long season to go. Now look, and you talked about on our call this morning, we're at the halfway point. What if the next 41 games, they go 30-11? Or what if they go, you know,
29-11?
I mean, they're going to a ton of games. Look, they could be the one seed. And let me tell you right now, Clippers, the way they're playing with those dudes, like, and that includes Denver, who I love, and Jokic will be a problem, a huge problem. But that will not be some easy series for either team to advance, if that indeed is what it is. Because those are some dogs on both sides, and it'll be a battle. High-level basketball, we hope, and hope no one's injured and all that.
And the Clippers will have an edge. Harden's got an edge. Paul's got an edge. Kawhi's got an edge. Oh, Kawhi always has an edge. Mm-hmm. Kawhi's like the Hulk. He's always angry. It's a great line. One of the Avengers. That's my secret, Tony. I'm always angry. There's just a certain thing about him. But if you're thinking about who you play against, like, you know, Minnesota's not fun to play against because their defense.
Nope.
But you're not afraid of them in the postseason. Kawhi is a different level. It's just a different level. And by the way, Westbrook, defensively yesterday, swarming as a helper, Harden locking it on defense. We know about Paul George and Kawhi,
right?
Like, but Westbrook and Harden playing defense that way was good to see. Now, Brooklyn did some stupid things.
Right.
But those guys were competing, for sure competing. Yeah, they know they got a chance here. They have to feel like, all right.
They do.
You know, we've gone through some stuff. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Russell was in the Western Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, he wasn't. He left. He was gone for L.A. before the Lakers
made that run.
But still, he's got to feel like I'm in a great spot here. They all got to feel really good.
He's bought into his role. They got Ty Lue, who's great. And look, guys, they're doing this without Zubac right now, who's out. This is all valuable reps and stuff for them. Again, like the Suns, all you want for them is to be healthy come the postseason. That's the biggest thing. And then look out and watch that Magic. Because you imagine a four left on just the Western Conference side alone with the Clippers, Nuggets, Suns, and either OKC or Minnesota. That's not a fun gauntlet to get through, my friends, to whoever's going to come out of that, come out of that one and represent the West. But good things we're seeing over there. And a 22-0 run, as David says. I was watching that. I was like, man, like you got, they're not, that's how you won the game. Cause they were down 22 zip and we won. Like, unbelievable. Great job.
Yeah, they were down like 9 or 10 points.
Yeah. Great, great job. We talked about Wemby last week, David, and how he's surging. And I was just looking up some of his numbers in the 8 January games he's played. He's plus 22.9 in EPM, which is just absurd. He's, you know, the transition, I think, to the league has probably gone about as well as they could hope for. Him individually. The team winning is a separate matter because they're just not, the other guys aren't very good. But I just feel like, wow, this guy is special. You said this. And it's like for him, his trajectory is, if this man stays healthy for the majority of his career, he will be one of the all-time greats ever play this game. And you see it. There's no two ways about it. The question is, where will he be doing that? It will be in San Antonio. Will it be somewhere else? Because right now, I like Devin Vassell. I got some guys they have. But for the most part, the rest of that team, I'm like, meh. I don't know who's a winning player on this team besides this dude.
Yeah, they've got. I think Devin is. I like Trey Jones, but probably not as a starter. I don't love Keldon Johnson. I like him. I don't love him.
Right. Sohan, we're out.
They don't
have
a center yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't have a player next to Wemby yet. Mm-hmm. I'm close with a guy named Dom Barlow. I like Dom next to him, but they've not ever played them together. Dom's backed him up. Zach Collins isn't the answer as a backup, but Wemby has been. Yeah, he just can't make threes. Yeah. I mean, he's almost at 33% for the year now. Mm-hmm. But
which is good because in the 20s.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what he is for the season. Maybe I looked up last 15 games. He's at 32.6. I don't remember. That's the number I keep thinking of. Is that what he is for the year?
He's 31% right now. In January. Let me see what he is for the year.
He might still be below 30. That's
29.6. So he's like just right at just below 30.
He wants to be a shooter. He just isn't. And I thought he was going to be. I was wrong. He's not. He's an amazing basketball player on both ends. Defensively, he won't win DPOY this year, in part because the team is terrible, but he might be the best defense. In the next 10 years, he's likely to be the best defensive player. If Draymond dominated for a stretch, it was Draymond, then Rudy. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Victor going forward. Yeah. And he can really score offensively. And when he gets a shot down, which I think he will, yeah, what are you going
to
do?
I was just going to ask you about that. Do you think the shot looks mechanically fine to me, I think. But
not great.
You have the eyes that would know that better.
Yeah, not great. There's some things he's got to do. It's a lot of moving parts there.
So big.
But you can get it. You can eventually figure it out. I imagine he'll spend a lot of time with it. But competitive, wants to win. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very interested in winning and plays that way. Yeah. He's earned the moniker of the best prospect I've ever seen.
And I talked about it last week. His EPMs have shot up, right? Chet was dominating in the rookie race.
He's giving Chet a run.
And now he's like, I mean, Chet's dropping. You know, and this is the NBA. As David said, it's hard, right? Like, the idea that Chet was going to come in from day one and maintain that level for 82 games, no rookie does that. Like, you gotta learn. And, you know, he's hitting a bit of a wall.
Very few players.
Yeah. It's every night you turn on a game and I'm like, God, and I know you do this because you have players that text you all the time. Okay, coach, on the road trip, I'm guarding Kawhi, Kevin Durant, this person, that person. And you're just like, murderer's row. Like, I mean, good luck. enjoy it, right? Like, it's hard.
I had a player in this last 10 days or so playing Phoenix, and I thought he was going to guard Durant. And about 2 hours before the game, he texted I'm guarding Booker. Yeah, I mean, they're very different people to guard.
Still both very difficult.
It's tough to guard. And then Beal, too. Tough to guard those guys. Yeah. And you can't touch them. You can't even look at them. That's it. You can't even look at them cross-eyed. They might call foul. Might call technical foul for that.
Especially your young guys. You're probably like, if you're talking to a young guy, tie your hands behind your back. Don't.
Yeah, you
don't.
Can't touch them. Can't touch them. Yeah, simple as that. Can't do it.
The All-Star returns came in, the third return on the fan vote. And those of you familiar, fans vote the starters in. And then the coaches fill out the rest of the rosters. And I was just looking at the returns, and it's everything that you would expect, that the popular people who are known, and also they're popular for a reason because they're also very good at basketball, are the people who are leading in the starting votes. But I also thought, you know, there might be some people who are deserving All-Stars, but may not. They certainly won't get the fan vote to start. And depending on who the coach is, they may or may not get in. We talked about Derek White already. Right now, David, Derek is 1, 2, 3, 4. He is 7th among guards in the East in terms of voting, behind Tyrese, Trae Young, Dame, Donovan, Maxey, and Jalen Brunson. And I would argue the only person I would have above him is Tyrese Haliburton. Nobody else. Like, Derek White's been that good to me as a guard. Maybe Donovan Mitchell, you could argue, because of his scoring ability.
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you. I as you know, and we talked about before the show, I don't follow that kind of stuff. I don't know who's popular. I know who's good. And yeah, I mean, normally the fans aren't way off, but they're, you know, Trae Young might make it, and he's amazing, by the way.
And also, we should add, Trae hurt right now in concussion protocol. So however long that lasts, I don't know. I was also looking at the West, David, and we talked about Steph Curry not being in the top 15 in EPM. However, he is right now the number 2 guard starter behind Luka. And look, Steph, and he's great, but to me, that's SGA spot. Like, SGA should be the starting West Coast backcourt player.
SGA can play the 3 too.
Except they have him as guard.
How do they do that?
I
didn't even know they
have you out positions. Yeah, front court,
guard, forward, center.
No, front court, backcourt. 3 front court players and 2 backcourt players. Yeah.
Okay. So SGA can't start.
No. Because he won't. Yeah. He won't overcome Steph. And I'm like, you know, look, ultimately it doesn't matter. He's going to be an All Star. But
he's going to be at the game. He's going to play a lot.
But I mean, you know.
He could be MVP for sure.
I mean, right? The guy might be MVP and he's not starting the All-Star game.
It's the worst. I mean, I haven't watched it in a long time. It's the worst game.
Correct.
It's not a competitive game. I don't know. I don't know how you can fix it because they're just not guarding.
Yeah.
And that's just not. For people like me, it's not fun at all.
And
to
be fair, like it's a weekend. They probably, because you have a week off, that most of them would prefer to just have the week off. Right. If they had their druthers, they'd be like, can I just have the week off and I go on vacation with my family or whatever it is that the non-All-Stars do? Right. Yeah, like
100%.
As opposed to being in whatever city, you got to do all these promotional events and
you'll be in Indiana.
Right. And this, that, and the third. And it's like, listen, it's an honor. They all say the right thing because they know what to do. And
yeah, there's a bunch of parties and whatever. Right. I'm not going to be at the game.
You'll be partying somewhere else.
Yeah, you're going to U2 at the Sphere.
You will have an amazing time watching U2 at the Sphere. Again, as I've said a million times on this show, one of the great stadium rock bands like ever. It's going to be such a good show. You're going to have a good time with that. Yeah, I was just looking about guys who, you know, may not make it. Jalen Williams of the Thunder, I think he has a viable case to be a starter.
For sure.
Or not a starter, an All-Star.
As an All-Star, yeah.
Does Chet make it? Do Chet or Wemby make it? Like, you know,
who are the centers? Who's the leading center vote getter?
So they do it by front court. So the leading front court vote getters are numbers 3 front court players: LeBron, of course, LeBron, Jokic, and Durant.
He's incredible, by the way, this year again.
Yeah, well, listen, that guy. Listen, he might play till he's 50 for all I know. Like
unbelievable.
LeBron, Jokic, Durant. Those are your 3 front court starters. No doubt that's going to happen. Then you go after that. AD. All right. Okay. Then now once we get up, Şengün, he's been playing well this year. He's a front court guy. Chet, Wemby, it's.
Hey, Gerard, I don't mean to change the subject. Yeah. We'll stay on the All-Star subject, but I do have a question. You made me think of this just now when you were talking about this. Why can't they do like international versus America?
I would love it.
You might get them to guard.
I would love it. So they used to. They do that. I think they still do it. What they used to call the rookie sophomore game, which is now the rising stars, whatever. I think they do team world versus team USA. I don't know if they still do it, but they did used to do that. That's how they broke it up. So all the USA guys versus everybody else who were young players would play.
I mean, I don't know that you would get nationalistic pride for something like that, but I remember I may have told the story once. So, you know, Udonis just got honored with he's in the jersey, he's retired in Miami. I watched the whole thing. I remember going to his All-Star appearance, which was rookie game, his rookie season, the Rising Stars game, whatever it was, rookie sensation. And I had him all fired up to fucking play. His super talent is just harder than everybody. Yeah. And I got him. We were in LA. My wife and I promised him, if you make it, I'll go. So he made it. I didn't know it was going to be in LA. My wife and I flew out there and talked to him the day before the game. I went to practice and we talked and I had him all fired up. And I never watched that game before.
Right.
And I'm not sure that he did it for many years before that. And the game was just so embarrassing. It's worse than the All-Star game. It's just dunk fest. No one's doing anything. And he said to me, that game was Melo and Bosh and Way. Like, that was his class. Because he was undrafted the year before in 02. This was the 03 game when he was a rookie. And afterwards, we went to dinner afterwards. And he said, I'm so sorry, coach. But, I basically would look like an asshole if I played hard. No one was having it. And I said, no, I thought of the same thing. It's just, nothing's changed.
Yeah.
But whatever you can do to introduce some kind of, I don't want them to play at all just because chance for injury.
Right, exactly.
But at least it's better to watch than that.
All-Star is going to be a thing that it's not going away, right? It's a necessity for the league and how they sell its broadcast rights, right? So, and I think TNT gets the game again this year and then all the festivities. Look, as a kid, I used to love the dunk contest, 3-point, all that. Like, it was fun. Now I don't, unless I'm there for work purposes going, it's what it is. They wouldn't hurt themselves, NBA, to innovate and think differently about how do we revamp that weekend and make this something that, is more enjoyable and a more better TV product. I think people still care about the 3-point contest and all that. Listen, you're not going to get the best guys at dunk just for whatever reason. It is what it is. Maybe get rid of it. Do something else. Maybe do a 1-on-1 tournament. I don't know. Something.
There's some good 3-on-3 things they could do. There's also, instead of the 3-point contest is, to me, very boring. I don't watch any of it. But if you put them through the kind of skill stuff that people like me do,
right,
we have some really cool shooting games. Really cool shooting games. You got to make 2 in the right corner, then 3 on the wing, and then 2 at the top. And if you miss one, you go back 1 spot. If you miss 2 in a row, you go back 2 things. There's all sorts of cool games you can play that people like us have to figure out just to keep these guys challenged. There's the game of how many threes can you take before you miss 2 in a row? Like, how can you do shooting from 28 feet, then 38 feet? 25 feet, 35 feet, back and forth. That's a Rick Carlisle thing. Like, there's some fun things they can do. Because it's more game realistic. The racks, whatever, I think it's all stupid.
So we'll see if they revamp that over time. Look, we got the in-season tournament. We know that's going to be around for a while, and they're going to iterate that. I'd love to see them do some tweaks to All-Star as well. The Celtics, David, you were looking up some great stats on them. And the last 15 games, second in threes attempted, 8th in 3-point percentage, 6th in free throw attempts, 4th in free throw makes, 4th in turnovers, 10th in offensive rebound, 20th in assists. Tell me about that.
So the 20th assist I put in there because they're creating their own shots.
Individual.
Shooting a lot of threes, and they're making a lot of threes, and they're getting a lot of free throws. And they're making a lot of free throws because of individual talent, playing well together, and in the postseason, when teams defend your best stuff better, they've got 5 defensive players on defense, and they've got the ability to create those shots without having to do much. So I also wrote in there, as you saw, they're first in offense now, second in defense.
Yep.
So add them together, that's 3, and you want a lower number.
Yep.
The nearest competitor, if you add up offensive EPM and defensive EPM rankings, is OKC with 10. Like, they're blowing away everybody else. There's no one else that's like 2-3 and 3-5. No. 6-4, I think, is what the OKC is. So this is right now Boston's ring to lose because they do look like they should be great in the playoffs too, with this way they play.
I think you're right. Mazzulla's got a handle of this team now that he perhaps didn't have a year ago because of the awkward circumstances by which he was thrusted into the head role. I watched that game that they lost on Friday against Denver. I mean, Denver are the defending champs. That was a great game. I really liked how Boston played, even though they lost. All those things you talked about, how those five guys, like, there's going to be a real problem in the postseason. I just see it. And it's not, everyone's like, oh, the ball's going to Tatum or Brown. I'm like, it might. Look, Derek White, to your point, like, he might be like, no, I'm cooking right now. I'm feeling pretty good. Like, and he
definitely is doing that some this year when he feels like he's got the best matchup. Mm-hmm. Or if he's just got to, you know, jumpstart the team, he'll play a little bully ball himself. Yeah. That's a bad boy.
And it's bad boy. And when they're all empowered like that, because, you know, David, on some teams, there's a unspoken or maybe spoken rule that, oh, I got to get this ball. It's got to go to Tatum or whoever the alpha is on the team.
Yeah.
That don't seem to be how it works over there. Like,
right.
White's empowered. If he's good, he can do his thing, which is, you know.
I think the chemistry is really good.
Yeah.
Really good in Boston.
And they, you know, again, assuming they're healthy, and that's a really tough team to really strategize against. Again, we talked about this earlier. Because they're defensive guys, they don't have to double much, if at all, which, you know, right. Double teams are what causes problems, right? Like, the more you watch this game, it's like, oh, shit, someone's open somewhere else. We're screwed because now we're in scramble mode. I don't see the Celtics scramble a ton when I watch them play, which is probably pretty good for basketball.
Yeah, they're a special team.
All right, folks. Enjoy. We will see you on Thursday. Have a good one.